finally some stronger feelings coming. I think it's the microphone. It's been quite calm. The effort, I've tried to not use any. The awareness is quite continuous and strong. So it's good. I feel the practice is happening itself. It helps with the right view.
Yeah.
But still there is some wrong view, I guess, or at least wrong effort, because I still build up some tension, especially if I sometimes go into the stories of my thoughts and then come back, I pull back too forcefully, or one part of me, I notice this part of me that uses attention to, the attention goes too strongly. It's, I really saw it happening, like bloop, and then bloop, some kind of tension. So it's interesting. I really effort not to effort, but I guess it's really difficult.
Try not to make effort.
Tuo on tietysti sen jännä, että diikka on good, mä mikrofon kain on ne se, että on tällä lailla. Ja sen aatu on jäin, että tiinä, että meille on vuoria. Tämä vuoria mä pidä, että ne tietysti tämä, että se tiin tiin lailla. Ja tuu se, että tuu harri suin, tuo tuu, tuu kone, tuu ne 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 saita lo lo te, että tuu mä lopu chuza, että tämä me jää uudet.
Tiku vai chuza?
Don't try not to try. He says, just notice that's happening. Yeah, so long as you notice this is what's happening and the result over and over, the mind will adjust itself. So just notice it.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of worry, though. I think I've trained my mind with greed, maybe a little bit aversion. I think it's happening a bit naturally, this tendency. I'm worried about... Okay, here it's okay, mind is calm, I see it quite clearly.
Yeah.
But back home, what's going to happen, I think there is not enough wisdom for home. Here it's quite, it happens, but
what's this?
I'm afraid that home I'm going to go back to my forceful, a little bit too effortful ways of practicing.
Oh, Emma, so into what? Dima, second, you know, to a shame yara, miare, whom I chant to a loo. They chose a be looked at. Pian pian win la, a
lovely.
Yeah, he says, well, at home as well, he says, you just have to notice that you're making too much effort.
Recognize it.
Recognize when you're doing it, and then that gives you the, you know, the chance to learn about it. He says, at home, it's almost like you don't have a choice because it's not so easy to be aware at home. So the mind will make sort of more effort, but you know where the tension comes. He says, yeah, he said, experience will teach you. You'll notice when you're in a hurry and then you start putting in more energy and stuff like that, and you know. Yeah, he says, now you have the knowledge, at least theoretically. When we don't have it, then you know, we kind of repeat patterns over and over. You have some knowledge now. You also have some consciousness that it's happening. So the mind is going to, you know, it's going to be learning from that.
I have one more question. It's about hobbies or activities that require full attention outwards. Is that bad?
Hobby.
Hobby.
With what attitude do you approach the hobby? Is it unwholesome? You know, are you doing the hobby angrily or greedily? Or, you know, what's the intention? What's the motivation for doing the hobby? Is it to relax, to, you know, to learn something? So, you know, the motivation. And he says, whatever you practice, you know, in doing a hobby, he says, you know, that sort of gains momentum in the mind that will sort of work outside of that hobby time as well. So
yeah,
just recognize that.
Yes.
Yeah. So if it is something unwholesome motivating you to do the hobby, he says, then that will gain momentum. But if it's something wholesome, that will gain momentum too. So
okay.
Thank
you.
Yeah.
So I forgot to do my homework and come with a list of questions.
There's no need to come with a list of questions.
So practice keeps carrying on. The night was interesting. I think I managed to keep awareness longer
before
falling asleep.
Asleep, okay.
And it's difficult to describe, but I have a bit more awareness even during the night. It's very, very slight, and also I don't want to... I remember it was quite a while ago, maybe a couple of years ago. I remember the kind of experience of having more continuity from one day to the next.
Yeah.
And that was really something particular, and I don't want to like fabricate that experience again or something. Otherwise my energy has been just a bit lower, I would say, because of the 8 precepts, then I get a bit more hungry. Mostly between breakfast and lunch, basically starting around now.
Yeah.
And then when lunch comes, then I pile up a big plate of food, and then I overeat, and then my energy goes down. The whole roller coaster.
Yeah.
But that's how I learn.
Shibati la ten lo tua.
And then also I haven't been running yesterday unlike the previous days. So I'm just observing how energy is depending on those things. Carrying in with the practice, I'm able to nevertheless adjust to the energy level and revive my attention, which I think is a hopeful sign. For example, during sitting meditation and even reading the inspiring books that you have compiled, actually I can see that it has a really good effect on my wholesome qualities.
Yes, it's important to know that we can learn how to attune the mind, like, if we are skillful.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening.
So just continuing on from this idea of trying to be aware immediately before sleep, and as soon as you wake up, I think I read in one of the books that when should you start practicing, and as soon as you wake up. And so I remember this morning doing that, and I remember the first thought was, oh no, I'm still here.
You mean the awareness was still here?
No, I mean that the first thought that I kind of recognized was a thought of, oh gosh, not again. You know.
That's not bad. At least you were aware.
But that is actually something. When I meditate at home in the morning, sometimes I look forward to it. I go, oh, you know, great.
Yeah.
But other times I do notice this resistance in the mind. Mm. I'm not sure if there's anything you can do about that apart from be aware of it, or is there
resistance to waking
to
up?
To actually doing the practice. So oh, wake up and yeah, go, okay, I need to meditate now.
Yeah.
And the mind is kind of going, oh, God, really?
Eh, ma le tadi ta mi de re ma ne no sai ka no yin ga tu a thu a ma se yo lo wa ma la a lo myo sai tai a ma thu chin na sai twi de lo
di lo wa a ne de chain ma sai ti a ma shi de chain ma a yu wa a ma shi ko lo chin de ya sai shi ne de chain da mo a lo lo a thu a kaung la lo da mo ho a thu lo ya de a jo ri ti la yin lo chin la.
Sarah said it feels like that, a little bit uninspired when there's no momentum, and then also we're not that skillful, we don't understand that much about the practice. He said, so momentum helps us to feel more inspired because it feels, you know, quite energetic or light, you know, the practice. And then also Sarah says, when we begin to understand the difference between being mindful or not mindful in every moment, and appreciating that mindfulness, you know, a simple mindfulness in the moment is how beneficial it is when that sort of, when the mind comes in, gets in touch with that, that also inspires the mind to just do the practice.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think I have been, and I kind of am aware of it, but there's, of trying too hard to achieve something during these days.
Mm.
And I just think that is something so ingrained, it's very hard for me to distance myself from that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, it has kind of meant that it's been quite tricky the last couple of days.
Have you noticed that, mind? You know that it's operating?
I definitely notice it. Yes. And all of the kind of...
the thoughts around it.
Yeah, the things that come up because of that, like doubts and kind of disappointments, expectations weren't met, all of those things I can kind of see.
Those are the results, but you see the minds that cause it.
Definitely, but it's very hard to put a stop to that,
So the key to the practice is not to try to stop what's happening, but to recognize what's happening and to actually observe what's happening. Recognizing that, right, when the mind thinks like this, this is the result. And recognizing that energy of wanting to achieve something and what its consequence is. Just really feeling it in the body, feeling it in the practice, just really being present with it, not resisting it and not wanting it to go away, but learning about it. That's what we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah says you can't skip this lesson.
No.
You have to go through it. He had a 3-day lesson on following greed. He had, well, you'll read about it in the book. It is the bed bug story.
Okay.
Yes.
Which book is that?
Is it in When Awareness Becomes Natural? And so after he had that strong lesson, then his mind kind of understood, really understood that when practicing meditation, greed doesn't work. And then his mind just dropped it. He never wanted to practice with greed again. He'd had greed in other things, but not in meditation anymore. It was contextual. When it came to meditation, his mind kind of had a clear understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So he hopes that we will get that too.
I have one other question. One of the first things that was said to us, I think, when we were here was, do you know that you're seeing?
Yes.
When we first said it? And everyone kind of said, yeah. And I thought, yeah. But... about 3 days later, I realized what he was talking about.
Nice.
And but so I've used that quite a lot to kind of just snap back into being aware.
Yes.
But I have a question about, so, you know, is it, how should you phrase that? Should it be, are you aware of seeing? I mean, I'm aware of, I'm seeing, or?
You can phrase it any way that's most.
But I just know that, like, when we say the mind instead of my mind, is it like a similar thing with seeing and hearing? Is it okay to say I am hearing, I am seeing, or is it, doesn't matter?
I would not use I. I would say seeing is happening.
Seeing is happening.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. And you could just leave one little word, like see, just see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, one teacher uses a phrase around the striving mind, just a little bit of like already aware. So it's like, it's almost like allowing the mind to already be knowing and not putting in that extra bit, because once we start checking, it already is doing something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, am I aware? And then we start doing a little bit more, but there is something about that kind of question that for me eases off that movement to do something. So one little word like seeing may be enough. Right? Mm. So just, and again, as Matet was saying, just to explore. What is it that brings in that very light? Sayadaw uses this, you know, the word check. You're just checking very, very little. But again, it's going to be to discover for you, you know, what is it that, what kind of word or phrase? Or, because we need to internalize ultimately how to guide our practice, you know. When does greed get, you know, kindled? When does it get observed? Like, just navigating that process. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. I don't have any question right now, but I can tell you something about about my practice during the last few days.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, I had an interesting event. I was lying on my bed after work period and watching my attention moving and, well, the awareness was feeling more, it was like easy, effortless.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of watching whether my attention was more in the bodily sensations or in my mind, and it was like going from mind to the body and so on, like in waves.
Mm-hmm.
And at first it seemed to be quite clear where the body is, I mean, what is bodily sensation and what's from the mental side. But at some point I realized that I had this like mental image of my body, which I was treating like it's a physical object, like that's part of the sensation.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized it's not, it's in my mind. And that was like a I saw it very clearly. It was a
very good
nice moment.
To မနေ့ကသူလှမ်းမှိုင်းနဲ့တတိယကောင်းနေတယ်တတိယလိုက်လိုက်ညွတ်နေတာသူသိတယ်ဟိုပဲအာယုံယူပဲစိတ်နဲ့ရုပ်နဲ့စိတ်နဲ့ရုပ်နဲ့အဲ့လိုမျိုးတိတိတိတိရနေတယ်တစ်ချိန်မှာတဲ့သူတတိထားမိတယ်စိတ်ကရုပ်ပုံစံကိုပေါ်ထားတာကိုရုပ်ခံစားမှုလို့ယူနေတာသူတွေ့လိုက်တယ်အရှင်းရှင်းလေးပဲစိတ်ကရုပ်ပုံစံကိုပေါ်ထားတာ
So that form that, you know, the image that the mind is creating, that's the concept, right, that the mind creates, yeah.
Yes. And I had a similar...
So that's good that you saw how the mind does that conceptually.
Yes. Yeah. And I saw the same thing with sounds. I hear a sound and then there's mind painting pictures, people doing something, or bird singing, but there's only a sound actually in the material side of it.
Yeah. Sika tanjain le ara ba ba nya. Dibe lai phora.
Tinyari
lo lo.
Chu tia thai ne khan na u pyaot taw le lan lan lo. Ai ya ai ai di phong mei wa. Sen la wo mei bo. Ma sen la pye lo pu na nai pyaot.
It's interesting to see, Sierra says this, especially where the mind is conceptualizing form. He says, because sometimes people, when they are, especially in sitting meditation, sometimes people, they're so kind of, the mind is so busy doing something else, it stops doing the conceptualization of the form. And then sometimes people, then people have this experience, they think that the body has disappeared. And actually it's just that the thought of the body has stopped, you know, constantly working at that time, or they've forgotten to notice it at work. Yeah.
Interesting.
So, yes. So if they open their eyes, then it comes back, you know. Yes. Yeah. The body never disappears. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. The river.
I have a question. I was discussing this question yesterday with Alexis, and Alexis motivated me to ask here, to ask Sayadov. It concerns organ transplantation and our readiness, our willingness to become a donor, of course, if we die in an appropriate way, like when our organs are healthy. So on the one hand, so many arguments actually support this idea, and we can think it's a great act of generosity and it's a great possibility to serve other human beings. But on the other hand, it's actually an issue of moment of dying or process of dying. And my doubts came when I was several years ago reading the books from Tibetan Buddhisms. And there are many scriptures which deal with this topic. And in Tibetan Buddhism, you read that it's a process when the mind separates from the body and it takes time, like it takes 3 days or even longer. And there are many recommendations what to do or what not to do with the body during this time, like even how to touch or how not to touch the body. And if we think that during this period of time when we are willing to become a donor, the medical people would
take it immediately,
would switch some devices, you know, to keep your circulation going, to keep blood saturated with oxygen and so on. And it's, of course, not the right conditions for to support this process of separation.
Mind from,
exactly. So that's actually a question. So how Sayadaw sees the process of dying?
Tibetan Buddhism ma durua o khana ko na sain ne a 3 ye 9 ye law cha ma tu a kwe de lo tu ra yu sa de a ro ai chi ma tibet ni de so yin tu ro ma ho tin pya jet de myai shi da bo khana ko blo tha tin ne blo kain tin ne ma kain tin un ni a myo so shi da bo no a ku di kaliza o hlu me so yin ho tu ro a te te chin myan myan ထုတ်ပါတယ်အဲ့တော့ဒါမဲ့တိဘက်တန်အရဆိုရင်အဲ့ချိန်မှာစိတ်နဲ့ရုပ်နဲ့ကမကွဲစိတ်ကဟိုမှာလို့ तू ကအစင်းသင်းမဖြစ်သေးဘူ
းခန္ဓာကိုယ်နဲ့
မကွဲရသေးဘူးဆိုတော့အဲ့ဆိုရင်အဲ့ဒါလုံးဖို့ဒီအချိန်ကအစင်းသင်းအဲ့တော့အရှင်ဖျားအယူမှာတည်တာဘာသာလဲ
ဆိုတာထက်သူဘေးတရားနာမှာယူတာထေရဝါဒအယူရတော့ဒီလိုရုပ်နဲ့စိတ်ကချက်ချက်အခုပြင်ကူပြင်တာပဲ
။ Yeah.
နောက်ဘောရဆိုတာ
In Theravada Buddhism, death, well, every moment the mind and every moment the mind arises and passes away, and it's nama rupa, it's mind and material arise and pass away. So death means literally that this form's nama rupa has its last moment in this form, and then it's gone into another form. The next mind that arises already is in another form.
So, and there is no period of transition.
No, in Theravada Buddhism, there is no such belief.
Tomorrow is very far.
Tomorrow is much further than death.
Next life is very close.
Okay. So it's like a short moment and then it's gone and...
Split second.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe a similar question to death. I'm wondering what's the view, like what's the purpose of mindfulness meditation in a way that what's the purpose of life? Like what we are doing here, and by practicing also this what's how those purposes, what's the view of
the dia about 12, but what about 12? Dari ekonom belum lulus sesa pro part well.
Tu nale dah, bawa di bawa ya panai mo, no? Di bawa ya lah, ni juga juga check lah. Sama mati, pemau mati. Kalau bagi TV ni, li lain ni, tapi bini nale dah lah, tu bawa sura. Bawa ya panai,
atinya
panai, bawa ya, bawa itu bawa itu sih mien lah bu.
Asih mau nale bu.
Nale bu, tapi bini nale itu nak semua, tu bawa mana panai ni. Yeah, totally your daughter, she knows what you are.
When he was younger, he had no idea what the purpose of life was and just lived life, you know. The way he wanted, he practiced meditation because he liked it, you know, that was just it. There was really no purpose to anything, no greater purpose. But then when he began to practice in earnest, Seattle says, it really became apparent to him that the value of this life lies in the gathering of wisdom, in the growing of wisdom. And it's the wisdom of understanding the truth of understanding the truth that cuts through delusion completely. And he says, so we just, he sees the, you know, awareness is like the doorway to allow wisdom to come into the mind. So awareness has to be present so that wisdom can also operate in the mind. So, you know, awareness is the path that we can take the journey. And the reason he feels that the real value of life is in wisdom, he says, is because of all the things he's received in this life, all the things he's earned, he's gained in this life, Seattle says, nothing has given greater satisfaction than understanding the truth. That moment of true understanding and the consequence, the result of that, the freedom that the mind has, the understanding that the mind has, he said, it can't compare to anything. He said, satisfaction guaranteed.
Then I'm, so what's happening in my practice? The reading, the, and first I want to say thank you for the kind of freedom and format of the retreat, because it's changed my view of meditation quite. I have only Goenka, Vipassana style experience 5 years ago. This has really changed my maybe motivation and kind of understanding of what it can be. And then I realized the freedom and the space to be self-responsible of the timetable or, and the actual practice has helped a lot.
Yeah.
To see how I'm actually functioning also in my life. Something is, maybe it's the this third day of the water fasting, so it's my mind is getting really clear, so my energy levels are quite good, and also the practice and the freedom to see my kind of system, how it works, so it's becoming more clear, and the ability to learn. For example, reading the books the first day was cloudy somehow and not understanding the text fully or being aware I'm reading, and now I feel it's something has shifted in my mind. But then I'm, I still have the heartbeat going really strong sometimes, and usually after sleep, which is funny.
Yes.
And after I take some naps and I wake up, and so I'm also interested about the sleep, like how, I have a practice where through music we kind of facilitate and be in a space where REM sleep, so you go really deep sleep during the session, but your mind is awake and you're aware of that, what's happening in that deep state. But I can see it and I'm aware of it during that session, but then I'm not aware if I'm aware when I'm actually sleeping. So I'm kind of wondering how could I know if I'm aware or not when I'm sleeping. And and then the dream has been quite some strong dreams, and the actually that my system is in a very sympathetic nerve, like fight or flight system is activating after sleep, which is funny.
Right.
So,
but you're not doing that here, right? That
no, not really. No, I actually been listening to some music and being aware how it affects my system, and it certain music has come down and then certain is activating the same process, but not really. But yeah, the dream, how to be aware, like how to know that I'm aware in the nighttime, or if I'm not, how can I even know that?
Yeah,
like what's the sign?
Okay. Tu asyik piau je zutin ni, di di tua going kat laut pura sebab
di. Kalau
tu ni mesti dia kau ni. Di laut open laut tarok, ko ko sumzang ara, ko aku you bro, ko cing ko tambo tabi luar tu, ko jang ko poti lah repono, nala ara, ko imal lebelu ni repa, pajang laut dari ko bumi lah repono, ara yang je zutin ni, tu tu tinya ni tu dolar ni. Nampak, asyik piah piah lulu, dia pi dia ho, ati dia tu lah, sama wewe wawa pahin, paman mati u, pada hari cibra, pah leti canam le, aku, ada di pian pahin.
Nale
le. Paman leti dia nale le, ho sedia cila le, energi dia le kau la, asyik dia le kau la le, tapi tu, ari no la le cima, api no la le cima tu yen tu nama. Mian ni deh deh, paman luar no lah deh cima, anjing zon tuai no lah itu tuai yang zon biro no lah deh. Nalun kau mian ni deh, bano. Tu ema soin tu, kuat kulo deh tu, tercendam yo soat tu tuah tilong yue biro leh kualo en tuah REM sleep surahu, ema mete ho sleep ane tali tuah ane zon bano. Elum yo ane ta ho Sekarang ini cuma anak ayah zong ceng lo tu luar biasa ni. Hari ceng lo tu, elok ni mian mian piang, piang sila elok hari tu luar ini malu pula. Di mana malu pula? Tapi macam, ada jang la ramai tiu balik. Tapi tu no. Baso ada ini macam sila. So tapi ini macam mati tiu. No tu ada.
Ni macam apa?
Tapi tu apa? Emak memang mati lor. Emak tema tu, ti lah mati lah lah mati. Emak tema, jadi si boh belum lawa malay.
Jadi tadi lu jadi sesang tak? Tua tu sih bawa. Emak dia dia, no, tuh dia mian nanti.
Yeah.
Emak sura tuh ber. Tuh ti ni jangan lupa. Kau ipi orang ni le, tuh yang kau light ti.
Light ti. So two things. First, continuous mindfulness, so that mindfulness becomes the habit of the mind. And the second thing is to also recognize thoughts whenever they arise, because dreams are just thoughts that happen when we are asleep. And Seattle says we're always thinking, and so the mind is there's always dreams, some more vivid than others. And if there is a habit of being mindful all day, then the habit of the awareness will come in, of the mindfulness will come in the sleep, and you will kind of know that you're aware when it's there. Yeah, and it might not happen every night, but when you have a habit of being mindful and knowing thoughts, then you know the likelihood of you recognizing that the dreams is much higher.
Yeah,
the mind is thinking all the time, so it actually dreams throughout the night, but it's usually the dreams that, you know, when we're awake, the dreams that we remember are the ones closest to when we're waking up. That, yeah, those are the ones that we become most conscious of, that we can be aware of.
Thank you.
Yeah, maybe the mindfulness and normal life would be a good thing to look at from my point of view. I like what you said about already
aware,
yeah. This is working quite well when I'm walking, so the mind's off somewhere and then I'm already walking, you know, so it just there's no bump, if you like.
Yeah.
But in other aspects of life and activity, there is more, it's sort of like, oh yeah, I've got to get this awareness happening again or something like that.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that's a kind of contradiction in terms already. But
yeah.
Yeah, so I suppose we're all thinking about the end of the, you know, going back to work life or whatever. And
yeah.
And so I'm not sure that that's just a work in progress, you know, all the time, how to do that. And the other thing is matching a kind of society which is very goal-oriented and very competitive and very... I work in the university, but still that's full of branding and... You know, even they've got mindfulness in there, but that's basically to make people perform more or, you know, produce more or publish more or whatever. So,
oh, wow.
Although I must say there's more wisdom. The people that are giving the mindfulness, you know, they seem to know what it's about. But the university probably don't know what it's about. I mean, that's the nice, what's the word, subversive thing about mindfulness. Anyway, those sorts of themes.
Yeah. ตุสินซ่าราเรอะกุนอเล็กซิสပြောတယ်ဟိုတတိဟိုတတိထားမိတာဟိုသူကပြောတယ်ဟိုအခုတပည့်တော်ဥပမာတတိရှိလာအတိနေလာဟိုတတိထားမယ်လို့အဲ့လိုမျိုးစဉ်းစားမှာဆက်တစ်ခါတလေတတိရှိတာဟိုတတိထားမိတဲ့အချိန်မှာအော်တတိရှိနေပြီလို့ရှိနေပြီရှိနေပြီသားဟိုအတိမှပြုတ်လိုက်တာပိုလွယ်တယ်ဟိုထားတယ်လို့လုံးမိမှာဆို
တော
့ဟိုစိတ်ကစဉ်းစားမိတာနဲ့ထားမိတယ်လို့ဖြစ်တတ်တော့ဟောရှိနေပြီလို့အဲ့လိုအတိမတ်ပြုတ်လိုက်သူအချိန်လေးနဲ့သူသွားလို့ရရပေါ့နော
်တတိကြောင့်စဉ်းစားရင်ပြီးရော
အဲအ
ဲ့လိုရောက်နေပြ
ီဟုတ်တယ်အဲ့တော့ထပ်ပို့မလုပ်မိအောင်ပေါ့နော
်ရပါတယ်အ
ဲနောက်ပြတော့
ပြောရစဉ်းစား
နောက်ပြတော့ဟိုပြန်မဲ့ဘဝဟိုလူတိုင်းကဟိုသူရည်ရဲချက်နဲ့ဘယ်လိုခေါ်မလဲသူ goal နဲ့သူအလုံးစူးစမ်းပြီးအလုပ်လုပ်နေတာသူကတက်ကတူမှလုပ်တော့တဲ့ကောင်းတာတဲ့သူကခေါ်ပြီးလူတွေကိုလာပြီး mindfulness သင်ခိုင်းနေတဲ့သင်တဲ့လူတွေကညာရှိတယ်တဲ့အဲ့ဒါအတော်သေးတယ်ဒါပေမဲ့သင်ယူတဲ့လူတွေက university အဲ့လောက်နားမလဲတော့သူကဒီ mindfulness သင်ပြီးတော့လူတွေကိုပို့ပြီးတော့လောက်တာညံဖို့လောက်တာပို့ထိရောက်ဖို့သူကအဲ့အတွက်သုံးကျင်တာဒါပဲဟိုတတိယဟိုတခြားဟိုသူက lucky ရပဲသုံးကျင်
တယ
်ဟို lucky တရာတော့နားမလဲဘူးပေါ့အဲ့လိုမျိုးဟုတ်ပေါ့ဘဝနေရေးရလို့မဟုတ်ခနဲ့ဒီတိုင်းသူကအဲ့အဲ့လိုမျိုးအာမီမာတော့သူကတတိယကိုသုံးပြီးတော့တကယ် trauma မဖြစ်အောင်တော့ပဲသူကတ
ည်တယ်ဘာလို့လောက်ချင်
မော်ဒီတိုင်းသူတင်ပြတ
ာ
ဘောဘော
အဲ့ဒီတတိထားတာအချင်းလှုပ်ပေးလိုက်လှုပ်ဖို့လိုပါတယ်လူတိုင်းကကိုယ့်ကိုတတိထားနေဘာပဲပြောပြောတော့လုံချုံတာပေါ့
Sierra says, well, for every individual that practices mindfulness, Sierra says, it protects their mind, you know, and the quality of their mind becomes better. So, good if they can continue to be mindful. So long as they continue to be mindful, Sierra says, then probably, you know, wisdom can come in and question their choices and so on. He says, probably when that sort of questioning comes up is when it's the best time to maybe expand or broaden their view.
Okay, I think my mind has been like rather steady and calm for the last days, and what I have been noticing is that like if I sort of drop out from the awareness a little bit for any reason, then it starts building up usually in like the same way, because I most of the time I meditate with my eyes open. So first it comes with the sight, and then other things start building up. It can be the bodily sensations or the smells or whatever comes through.
Yeah.
But somehow it seems the mind has been more interested in things that have been related to the vision. Like now I have noticed that the mind keeps track of the, let's say, the field of vision that is limited. So now it has looked like I'm looking through the barrel,
yes,
like for 2 days now, which is something you
new.
Normally don't recognize because the brain blurs it out, and
yes.
And also small bits like when I'm reading, then I feel the eyes moving, which is also interesting because that's also something I normally don't notice.
That's
it just
right.
happens.
Yes.
And but these things come and go, so it's not so that I would be resenting them. So, but it's just very interesting to see like how the awareness builds up and brings these like tiny pieces.
Yes, good. Yeah, to the di ashen yo wa in na tu pong ma ba the di o pya pya tin ne de the di tin na pong sa an le tu pong ma de khu shi de da tu a myesi ayon a ni sa de pi ma atan ni ba de a lo myo yu de ba no myesi ayon ma de tu ba sai win sa le so lo tu a di myin kwe ni ya le a wai ni lo ba de ai myin kwe ni o tin yin ne tin yin 2 ya law cha lo le tu a ho barrel so lo ti la pya pai lo mho pya ho bia the de ha ri le di lo a ra yi ya biaro balo thare oi ya le tu ye pongsan ga le tu a pai long naw mho dilo ne ne eh ri the a ni chi ne dilo be ne pongman soe kon dilo ma mye u bo no pa so sait ga tu a tu a lo lou bro di hao phyet lite a pyin o myan lo di ma shi ne de so da ma ti da ro u da mai da o tadi tha mi ye ne dai ya the sha la le
eh
tu a a lo myo barrel le a ni chi ne dilo khan sa ya le
ai
kon ne a ni chi ne dilo naw bro di ကြည့်ရင်လည်းအခုအဲ့တော့ဒီချိတာကိုများများသတိထားတော့အခုဖိုက်လည်းမျက်စိလှုပ်တာကိုသိလာတယ်အဲ့ဒါလည်းစိတ်ဝင်စားဒါအများဖြစ်နေတာမဟုတ်ဘူးတဲ့ဒါပေမဲ့သတိအဲ့လိုစူးစမ်းပြီးတော့တင်ရင်အဲ့လိုပဲပို့သတိထားမိလာတော့စိတ်ဝင်စားစရာကောင်း
တယ်ဟုတ်တယ်ဉာဏ်လုံးကအဲ့လိုအမြဲတမ်းလှုပ်တယ်ရွှေ့တယ်အဲ့ဒါလေ
Yes
စိတ်နဲ့ဆိုင
် True ဆရာတို့
ကြည့်နေတာတော့လိုက်ကြည့်လ
ား Yeah the you know the mind
အဲ့ဘောလို့ရွှေ့တာကိုသိနေရင်ဒါသတိကဒီမှာရှိနေတယ်
Yeah, where seeing and looking is concerned, the mind and the eyes are always moving, you know, attention and the eyeballs are moving. Yes, we don't usually notice. Yeah, so when, you know, where the attention goes, there the eyeballs go. So, yeah.
And,
so true.
Yeah. And another thing is that I feel that something is building up inside when... it's possible to like speak and and do it mindfully because the previous experiences with it's very interesting because it's things build up so fast that it's a continuous practice of like getting down from the speech, like so just reflecting on that. So I feel that it's very interesting to practice meditation and speech.
Yeah, to the agusagapio bole to choose a bi atopo to techuan it, but so ene to choose a rechima alo whether the sagapio or miapi and pian the ditabo pian pian swear pian jara or pian hua loara to. Yeah, he says good to have the chance to practice, and we just, you know, we need to practice until it becomes a habit, so it's second nature to us just to know when we are speaking. Yeah. He says so much goes wrong because of wrong speech. Wrong speech not only means we say something wrong, it can also mean we
not right
don't say what needs to be said. So, you know, learning what needs to be said and what needs to not be said, and then the right time, place, and person, and so on.
Yeah.
Probably one of the things that most agitates the mind is wrong speech. Like when we said something wrongly at the wrong time, the consequences of it, all of that caused so much chaos to the mind for so many people all the time. And in the family, Seattle says, then wrong speech can be a daily thing for some of us, or, you know, a recurring event, you know. Sometimes we stop talking to each other for long periods of time, you know. Yeah, lots of wrong
speech. And I remember one teacher once told that she practiced speech with with not gossiping. So basically she said that she did not speak about the people who are not on the table with her friends. And I also tried it, and as she said, these tables are usually pretty quiet then, because we are very used to
talking about
other people who are not there. Present. So it was an interesting experiment.
Yeah. When we are really mindful and we are considering what's wise to say and what's not wise to say, he says it really does bring speech down to very little. Yes, our habits of speaking mindlessly are so so much part of us, he says. And yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you already. It has been a great journey for me, and I will have a lot of things to bring back to my daily meditation at home. One thing that I realized when I had a quick talk with Alex is that he introduced me those 7 factors of enlightenment, and how you can actually deepen your meditation by balancing them. And I had a kind of a immediate effect on that one. It kind of deepened my meditation and awareness.
So it
was quite it was really a good guide for me. Just to share with everyone else, can you talk a little bit about those 7 factors and how can you kind of use them and balance them, and if there come some other tips for other people too.
So the way Seattle understands the seven factors of enlightenment, there's three factors in the factors that are workable, that we can work on. And there are four factors that are effects of the work that is done. And the factors that we can work on are sati, virya, and dhamma-vicaya. So that's awareness, right effort, and wise investigation. And when these three work in the right way, then the results are samadhi, stability of mind, piti, joy, pasadi, tranquility, and upekkha, equanimity. So as the practice matures, Seattle says we go up, you know, from just samadhi, stability of mind. It comes to a point where the mind always has a lot of joy when it, you know, when the practice is right. Then it becomes very peaceful, and then there's a lot of equanimity. That's, yeah.
Yeah.
So although in the Vajranga Sutta they're explained in a progression, Seattle says what we can do, we can't really like make them happen. You know, we can just work on the causes. We just work on it, and then if we have the right attitude, then the effects just follow.
Yeah. Thank you.
Wa pyora ne mu tu la mu ti. Wa
wa. Wa wa po ta pu chin twa la.
Tu a ba pyo le ra mu ti u tu tu a tho lo a sin pye wa le lo pyo le da me.
Okay, first I want to say also about my experience yesterday. I also felt that I'm get suddenly sad, a little bit sad. Mm-hmm. And then I try to understand from where the sadness come actually.
Yeah.
And then I realize it comes actually from boringness, that I got boring. And I ask why I'm boring now.
Yeah.
And boring because I used to work and have result. Or it's the best way. You do, you put energy, uh-huh. and you get result, and you see result.
Right.
And here, of course, you are working, you are getting result. But this result is sometimes very tiny, or maybe
not
it will come
obvious.
Not very, very obvious. And that is why it's made me kind of sad, because it's again, my God, I am working, and result is not here. Yeah, but then kind of, yeah, good. I manage, so
yeah.
I think I realize it, and it let me be like it is.
Then it was okay.
It was okay.
When the mind desires more than is the natural, mm-hmm. you know, what comes from the natural cause and effect, mm-hmm. then it gets bored or dissatisfied mm-hmm. with the results when it wants more than what's here.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah. So Seattle says as much as we are doing, we're getting the results. As much as we are skillful, we're getting the results. As much as we actually, put in the effort, that's, you know, the result we're getting. But that result may not be necessarily be what we want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes, we do get results,
yeah.
but it may not be what we want. Yeah.
Another thing is Now, today we talk about tokens that we will allow to talk, yeah? Mm-hmm. And then Alexis also noticed that it's also kind of way to talk. You can hear your voice to be aware that you're talking, yeah?
Yeah.
Actually, I quite a while already noticed this, that I'm hear my voice, and it's annoying again for me. It's strange. It's strange because one thing that said, okay, at least you hear your own voice. It's not like some other strange voice that doesn't belong to. But it's annoying. And then now, actually, when you mentioned this, I realize maybe it was annoying because what is missing quite often for me, awareness, I'm aware that I can hear my voice, but awareness of awareness.
You forgot that.
So this is small. I forgot because it's really a very tiny difference between maybe how to make it obvious or how I can do it obvious for myself. Awareness of awareness.
Recognize it. Make it a habit. Yeah. Well, Alexis kan tu sekarang pior aje mak kau tangko tilu yar elu pior tu aje mak tu senang mila tu amie tu cawin ane tu tak tu pian cawin la. Dan tu asal macam ni mula tu tak ijar tu pior ikut dia. Dan mak elu di ni Alexis kan nak kau pian pior lagi aje mak tu asal senang mila. Or tu a lo ni la, kau tu a pion ni la uti ni la. Just habit. Appreciate the awareness. Make it a habit to appreciate the awareness. Yeah, you hear the voice, and then like now you can remember that, you know, that means that there's awareness, and then at that time you say to yourself, And not just when, you know, when hearing your own voice, you know, mm-hmm. there's so many times in our lives, you know, mm-hmm. moments in our lives where we know something and we forget that we know it because we are aware,
mm-hmm.
you know, so just like recognizing and appreciating that awareness is doing its work reinforces it. And other times you can check what's the mind knowing, what's mm-hmm. the mind knowing, so that we get more in touch with recognizing that the mind is knowing something.
Mm-hmm. And last question, maybe some advice, how I can bring this taste of awareness to my kids, because I have two sons and younger one 11 years old, and he has such an agitated mind and it's so my example it's not enough, I think, so because parents it's quite often not a good, I don't know how to say, sometimes it's not a good authority for kids, they learn easier from somebody else but not from parents, but maybe some trick How to bring this taste of awareness to kids and
Kaleo the D Yada Balo no to Kanta or no lopia malaria to Kaleria Saturn at the Kalin and out Nanette at the Kalin Dama the Catholic Kalesura, Miba map Namatanjin the loop hit at there and obey Bedu
through Zashiva, through Shane to Shiva.
What?
I'm saying you could put it in the food.
He said you can make it a game for them. You know, just make it a game for them. So, like sometimes ask them, oh, you know, do you know what it feels like to recognize, you know, that when you're eating something that you taste it, what does it taste like? What does it feel like? So just making it a game. Mm-hmm. So you can start with little short periods of time and find different interesting things for them to notice that they are experiencing something, you know, experiencing something. He asked someone once, he said, when you do this, do you know it from the thumb side or this side? And then he said, the person went trying to figure it out. Yeah. Different.
Thank you.
Okay. The momentum is building up, but maybe not so much as I want. So, so especially during the mornings, I have been a bit like, always a bit like croaky or a bit like sleepy or then drinking too much tea and being like a bit like mind overactive and then being a bit like dissatisfied.
He says, you know, no need to drink a lot. Just be sleepy and be aware. Wrongy awareness is fine.
They both seem to be a bit like
Half awake.
He says half awake awareness is very interesting. It's different from awake.
Daydreaming is more difficult.
You know, you learn more about daydreaming when you have half awake awareness.
Dreaming is more difficult.
And you learn more about dreaming too.
Daydreaming is more difficult. Daydreaming
is when you're in the daytime when you're awake. You know, you're not fully asleep. Yes, he's just. It's just like night dreaming. Yeah, this is daydreaming, really.
Half awake, feel like wake up.
The mind is like half awake and then awake, half awake and awake. He says, you can explore that.
Yeah, maybe I could.
Try, yes.
Yeah.
You could test it out.
Probably evening and I think you'll do that.
Yeah, just drinking a lot of coffee or stimulants. He says, it's just like, you know, you're just swinging from one to the other, but we're not truly exploring that moment, you know, just explore.
Look at that,
He says you have a past practice, so you don't need to worry about the experience. He said you can just be with the experience and then. He says once the awareness is working steadily, he says any unwholesome will run away. So don't be afraid. Just be with it.
Okay.
With the awareness, yes.
Yeah, I have also a couple of questions. One is about a bit like different styles of doing this practice. Or I was reading the book and or one like way, I guess, is to kind of be very like kind of passive or just like let anything that happens to just be and like more be like in the awareness and then let different like objects come and go.
Yeah.
But then also there has been a bit like that kind of instruction to where or how I have interpreted it, it's like a bit more active or there is some kind of intention to like bit gently kind of expand or kind of, I don't know, is this the right word, but that kind of, or it seems that you can also do it a bit like gently kind of letting the awareness kind of to know things that it didn't know or that you were not aware. And I was thinking about, or are these both like kind of fine ways to do the practice? And so the one is like very passive and the other would be more like having this kind of intention to kind of know more about what is happening.
သူစောက်တွေဖတ်ရင်းနဲ့သူနှစ်မျိုးခွဲနေတယ်တဲ့တစ်ခုကဘလို့ဖတ်လိုက်ထင်ရလဲဆိုရင်ဘာမှလုပ်ဖို့မလိုဘူးဖြစ်တဲ့အတိုင်းသိ passive ဖြစ်တယ်ပေါ့နောက်တစ်ခုကအဲ့လိုမဟုတ်ဖက်နဲ့အာဘာထပ်တည်လို့ရလဲဘာတည်လဲဟိုစိတ်ကဒါပဲတည်တာလားအဲ့လိုမျိုးနည်းနည်းစိတ်ကိုပို့တည်အောင်လို့နည်းနည်းလုပ်ပေးတာအဲ့တော့
It's
all context based. It's contextual. So when the awareness is like beginning or, you know, not so practiced yet or the mind tends to fixate and all, then you want to gently allow the mind to recognize that it actually knows many things. So you have to nudge the mind a little bit to recognize other things because the mind can
you know, sometimes the mind just wants to just vegetate with something, you know, and then you'd like gently encourage the mind to be more open to its full experience, okay? And then, but that's when the mind is not doing it on its own. And then he says, when you have momentum, you know, you're nudging the mind along, trying to get it to be aware and so on, recognizing when it's aware and so on. And then you gain momentum. See, so when you gain momentum, naturally the mind already, there's a flow, there's a feeling that you are connected to many things and you know many things, and it feels quite simple and easy to be connected and not to get lost in the objects, but just to know that there's a recognition of everything that's happening. So at that point, there doesn't need to be anything done. But you have to recognize where you are. It's like cycling, right? Sierra says, at first you have to pedal. Then when you have some momentum, you can stop pedaling and the bicycle will coast. But when it starts to slow down, it'll wobble, so you have to start pedaling again. So then you have to gauge when your mind has momentum, you can get out of the way and let the mind do its work. And then when you find that it's wobbling, then you need to go back and make sure the mind continues to be aware.
Yeah. So be like a bit more active when there is no momentum, and then kind of let.
So in the beginning for all of us, there's a lot of learning going on about how to have right attitude, how to be mindful, how to not mind that, you know, we lose our mindfulness, we come back, and learning all these things, you know, wanting the you know, things to be a certain way, recognizing that, coming back to, you know, just being okay with the way things are, and, you know, being aware of what we already know, and just like, you know, practicing and learning. There's a lot of learning going on. And he says, and then when the mind starts to settle, it's learned some stuff, and sometimes it comes into a state where it's quite settled, then you'll find some momentum starts coming. And, you know, we can go in and out of momentum all the time. So and hopefully learn more and more, so that we learn how to have more momentum as well with time.
เออถ่ายไปตัวลงเนี่ยจ้ะจ้ะลงแล้วลงเนี่ยไอ้อ่ะถ่ายไปตัวลงเนี่ยจ้ะจ้ะลงแล้วลงเนี่ยไอ้อ่ะถ่ายไปตะเนี่ยอลุโลยอกทุกตะดิมันถ่าอูตะเนี่ยอลุโลยอกไอ้นี่ถ่าอูตึกใจแล้วกว่าลงเลยตัวฉันน่ะกันน่ะไอ้เออแล้วตะดิเนี่ยถ่าอูยอกฉินเนาะตัวไอ้นี่ถ่าตัวลงอยู่ว่าล่ะหมอกตัวอยู่ยอกนี่เนาะไอ้ลบอ่ะพี่เออคิดเนาะตัวนับแล้วตัวลงอยู่รู้เมียตัวไอ้มาเลยอ่ะ
So there was a yogi Seattle said who, you know, he practiced very diligently for months, and then he began to notice that when he woke up in the morning, awareness was already present. And he found that really, he loved that, you know, that awareness was already present when he woke up. But he didn't recognize why awareness was already present when he woke up. He didn't recognize the months of awareness training that he had been doing. And so what he started thinking was that when you wake up in the morning, awareness is already there. He started to recognize that. But he couldn't get that state in any other time. And he craved that state. So what he started doing is sleeping a lot, so that he would keep waking up to being aware. But doing that constantly, you spend so much time sleeping where the mind is not mindful. Then you lose mindfulness, you lose momentum, and then he lost that state. And Sierra was quite shocked to learn years later that he had done that, you know, that he didn't recognize that it's practice that brings momentum. That he just thought of it as an experience like held in a spot of time, and it's just related to the experience before that, rather than like a timeline of experience, of activity and experience that has led to this moment, to a result, you know. conditions give rise to results, not just one thing to another.
Mm.
Yeah.
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 Another question. This is a bit specific. What about that? These 8 precepts and the, like precept to like not eat after the noon.
Yeah.
I was thinking, like, is that more like a or kind of what is the kind of reason, and also like is it more kind of tradition that it is in the morning, or could you like shift the time of eating to only evening, and would it be kind of the same thing, or is it kind of just a tradition that you
yeah.
eat in the morning, or is there some reason for
it? Yes, there is some history to the 8 precepts. Shipatila bailu manema masara manepa sara nyani masara but oh ko upama nyani basa me manema sa au so la ya la re ho shipatila ho
thong na ne ho thong na nai la la lo mane bai no sa nyani sa be ma sa kai ma lo so
mya so phya la that twa tu ho wa ri ma la phong ji ri o nyani twa bro
song khan la nya ba ja ma ma yi de ma song khan lo lu ri la
So in the Buddha's time, at first there was no precept that the monks don't eat after lunch. They ate whenever they wanted. But then it was the Buddha's time, there was no electricity. And then when the monks went for alms round in the evening or at night, sometimes it was scary for people to have someone knocking on their door asking for alms in the dark. And so people complained to the Buddha, and then the Buddha made a rule. And then the Buddha thought about it. He thought, if they have food, breakfast and lunch, that's kind of sufficient. Like the body can survive. The body has enough. Because the purpose is of eating for the Buddha is so that you can practice, right? So he thought that much won't be detrimental to cut out lunch, and then the lay people can rest, and so he made this rule, just for that purpose.
No, what mean the sabu? I looked
Yeah, and then for the lay people, it just they just followed from what the monks did, right? So if the monks didn't eat after lunch, so then the lay people just took that on, and then the seeing that just having one less meal to prepare and eat gave the mind that much more freedom to spend on doing other wholesome things, right? Mm-hmm. Than to like work with that. So yeah, it was just like yes, and then we usually eat with greed. And so when we eat one less meal, we're sort of giving up some of our greed. So in some ways, it's helping us to train, like relinquishing some greed.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had just been thinking that also I have been reading a bit about this like intermittent fasting, and it's also interesting.
Yes, I know. It's the same time.
Yeah.
It's the same time frame.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, that it might give some also cognitive benefits to do
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
but
it
probably
does.
It's a bit like accidental. Or, yeah.
Yeah, tu shipati la teina o tu agu tu ro tu de tana ma intermittent fasting ma tu ra shinai sa kha shinai atwe ma sa cha ne 16 nai ma sa ne da ma 16 nai ma sa ra de get the ja lo ma atwe a ye အရေတောက်လို့ရတယ်ဒါပေမဲ့ရေနော
်
ခိုးကြားရပါလေဘာမှဒီအာဟာရအရေအနေနဲ့တွေးတော့မပမဝင်အောင်လို့မဟုတ်ရင်ဝင်သွားရင် तू อ่ะအဲ့ fasting မဖြစ်တော့ဘူးပေါ့နော
်
အဲ့ဒါဆိုရင် तू อ่ะအုံနောက်တွေလည်းကောင်းတယ်ကျမကြီးလည်းကောင်းတယ်အဲ့လိုမျိုးပေါ့နော်ဒါပေမဲ့ဘယ်ရှင်းနိုင်ပဲဖြစ်ဖြစ်ရတယ
်
သူတို့ကည၈နိုင်လားမနေ့၈နိုင်လားအရေမကြည့်ဘူး၈နိုင်ဆိုပြီးရော
It's just cool seeing you look like
that. Yeah, you can do it anytime you want, you know that's yeah. It's not a magic hour.
Mm.
Yeah, the timing is not. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. One more question. This, or I had some like doubt going on yesterday, and one thing which I was thinking, like, if you do this kind of practice a lot and you get like very kind of equanimous and get like that you kind of do not you kind of want less or don't want so much, and I was thinking, might that lead in certain sense to kind of lessened motivation to do things that in general you would kind of do much less, and that would not or often it probably would be a good thing, like not to do things which are motivated but by bad things. But I was thinking, might that also lead that one is in general just like doing less, and then one might also like lead a lifestyle which is not so active compared to some other like philosophy, if where you would, for example, like purposefully try to do very much things which have some real value or something.
Right. Yes, maybe not consider equanimity alone.
Yeah.
So equanimity, Seattle says, should not be thought about in like as a lone factor. I mean, no factor in the mind exists alone, okay? So you have to consider it as a team working with other qualities in the mind. And Seattle says what you want is wisdom to be helping equanimity. So that, and then there is not just equanimity, you know, there's equanimity is the wise response of the mind when there is nothing you can do. Like, you know, that it's not, you are not going to be helpful at this time, right? But, you know, there are all the other responses of the mind, right? Metta, when everything is okay, compassion, when there's suffering, mudita, empathetic joy, when there is other success. And so wisdom understands when to act and when not to act. So we have to consider that.
I kind of get it. My point was maybe not about the like equanimity alone, but maybe more about like Buddhism in general and the like reducing of tanha or like reducing of craving, or might it. But I guess that wisdom thing kind
but
of.
Wisdom also it. Wants to do things. It just wants to do things that are wise. Wisdom does things because it understands the consequence. It understands how to do it. It understands the benefits, and then wisdom wants to do something. You know. For example, just in the practice itself, Seattle says, the more we understand the practice, the more inspired we are by the practice, the more we want to do the practice. So wisdom leads to action, right action.
Maybe I passed the mic on.
So regarding the dinner, I was observing the greed a lot. I love soups.
You love soup?
And I love the spicy soups. Spicy they soup. Make it here. So even waiting in the queue, it just brought me so much joy. I get the soup. And there was no possible, like, you know, like, I put as much as possible in the plate, as was possible.
And
I also love the bread, these endings, these crispy endings. So I collected all of them, which they are in the basket.
Yeah, because most people don't like them, right? Bedaud, I
did.
Yeah, yeah. Bedaud,
I was really greedy and I just took all of them. And
nobody genie called you liked
it. I was just, every time I bite and it was like so much energy and joy and happiness.
No, I like that.
And so much wanting. And it was like so... So energetic. It's like biting and eating and swallowing.
Yeah, he says fascinating, right? Greed every step of the way.
Exactly. It was so much
fun.
And there was wanting more and more.
Mm.
That was for sure.
It's like,
it's really weird, Ziano says, you know, when greed takes over, like we can eat more and it just is like not enough. We just want to keep eating more. And until we stop, it's like the greed can't stop. He just keeps wanting more, just wants that taste or that feeling or the,
exactly.
Just exaggerates.
Because it's a joy, it's really joy, which actually, to feel it.
That's why greed doesn't feel like suffering, because it makes us happy. Dosa is easier to want to work with, because dosa makes us suffer. So, I want to work with dosa. But greed, we don't really want to work with it. We want it to hang around. But greed is a time bomb, Seattle says, because when it doesn't get what it wants, then it really stomps on you. Then,
yes, that's actually at the time I just let it really to enjoy.
Yes,
I just stopped when the wisdom came.
When who?
That wisdom
came.
That starting feeling a bit pain in the
belly.
So I was like, okay. But what I found out, I was run out of completely energy. I was completely exhausted after that experience.
Greed has a burning energy.
Greed or aversion,
All the unwholesome qualities of the mind, they have a burning quality. They like deplete the mind. And the body, of course, yes. And the body, yes, they deplete the body and mind totally, he says, the unwholesome qualities if we let them take charge like that.
So that's, exactly. I was observing, when there was a momentum, at that point, observing the thoughts, it was just enough energy keeping the momentum.
Yes.
But when there was a loss of awareness,
yes,
and there was a catching on the thoughts, it was bringing more energy and I felt more exhausted. So it was like the energy was going up and down.
Yes, that's right. When we have a lot of unwholesome thoughts, Seattle says, that's when from delusion, greed, aversion, unwholesome thoughts, they deplete the mind. They make the mind tired, tense, and so on. And body.
And that's what I find in the change, actually,
Before coming here, I had like attitudes in the mind. I found attitudes are running the actions, which I do.
Yes.
And I was observing these attitudes.
Yeah.
That's very important.
Every
action is governed by some attitude, definitely. Right or wrong. I mean, wholesome or unwholesome. Yeah.
And I found myself a lot in attitudes that I do meditate incorrectly.
Incorrect?
Yeah. I do incorrect way of meditation.
Uh-huh.
Because I wasn't feeling pleasant
uh-huh.
at many situations.
Yeah. When was this?
It was when I was attached to the thoughts. And find now that it is because of the attachment. Because right. Being here,
yeah.
having the same thoughts, yeah. sometimes it happens, it's yeah. just repeating some thoughts.
Yeah.
But I am aware of them.
Yes.
I'm not actually attached to the action.
Yes.
So there is, I believe this is what creates different attitude to the thought. And that what creates me not like feeling that there is correct approach, like there is awareness.
I don't understand the last bit of what you're saying.
I was actually feeling not meditating, not feeling good in the life because I was attached to the thoughts. Here I find myself observing the same thoughts but not attached because of the awareness.
Ah, okay. Yes.
And not feeling actually bad or unpleasant.
Right.
At this point, I found really need for coming more to retreats. Because I can get detached from that maybe the reality which is I can be more aware, I can get like awareness of awareness.
Get refreshed
I can
retreat my meow. Yes. Go for more retreats. Very good. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, if you can, it's good.
Now I feel me.
Come to film. Yeah.
We will see. Uh-huh. I will see. I would love to go back to Burma.
Not yet. Yeah. Sad.
Thank you.